Well, if you haven't figured it out, we are already into summer. I think we jumped right from early spring into the summer months, and we are here at the point where we are thinking about summer. And when we think about summer, we think about outside, doing things outside. And, you know, it's an interesting fact that occurs in the summertime is attendance at church just tends to shift, okay? And we have a few less people that show up on Sunday morning, and they get out doing things, which, you know, I think is fantastic. I think it's one of the greatest opportunities we have in the summertime to increase our circles of influence in the summertime. And so I don't always think so much about the number of people that are sitting in these pews on summer, but I think about the number of people we just sent out the door to be an influence in our communities. And so I want to remind you this morning, I want to remind you of our purpose, okay? Last week we talked about the purpose of God, and Jesus said he came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he passed that purpose on to us. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives to the world that we live in, okay? That's not any more than the people, the circle of friends that you have. And in that circle of friends, you can have people who are believers, who love the Lord, and you can have people who do not know the Lord. And all of us have circles. They may be closed circles, they may be wide circles, but we all are influencing people with our lives all the time. And so we each have a set of circles, and that circle is where we're to be seeking the lost. We're to be looking for them. And we're supposed to be dealing with the idea of compassion plus relationship equals influence. Okay, so compassion is seeing the need of a person and trying to meet that need, and then hopefully developing a relationship out of that, which will give you an opportunity to talk about things that are in their circle, the things that are going on in their story, and then to add your story to it and develop a friendship of those people. So just a little note here. There's a magazine out here on the Welcome Center, as well as in your boxes, or if you can't find one, we'll give you one. But in this magazine, the title of this one for this summer months is, Does Evangelism Really Matter? Now, don't get freaked out on evangelism. Evangelism is just telling your story. That's all it is. Telling your story and how God's story intersected your story. That's what evangelism is. But in the back of this thing, the last article, it says, Go and make friends. Isn't it interesting? We've been talking about relationships and friendships and how important friendships are to our culture. I was reading this morning. This is actually an article about how to reach across cultural barriers. In other words, reach across to another person, a multicultural situation, which, by the way, we have in Hampton. If you haven't noticed, it's here, okay? And so how do you do that? Well, it talks about how you reach across cultural barriers and be friends. And has everything to do with simply being a friend, finding a need, meeting the need, building a friendship. And so this whole magazine is about that concept, okay? And I didn't write this magazine, by the way, okay? I didn't even know it was coming out. So it's interesting to me that that's what's going on. So as we go out this summer, this is what I want you to do. I want you to vacation on purpose, okay? When you can't be here. Now, I think worship is really important, and I want you here as often as you can be. But if you're not here for whatever reason, I want you to go and be out of here, sent ones, and vacation on purpose. In other words, don't just go on vacation just to please yourself. Go on vacation to have a rest, to have some pleasure, but also to be looking around you, because in the summer months, there is no better time than the summer to look and see the needs of people. Remember, this is what we're saying. Compassion plus relationships equals influence. We can have our greatest influence in the summertime. It is phenomenal what we could possibly do in the summer. And so this morning, I wanted to take you to a passage of scripture that talks a little bit about this. And Jesus here is again teaching us how we can vacation on purpose, how we can put compassion, relationship, and influence together. Now, this is really not part of that series, but it sounds like it, doesn't it? Part of it, because I really, this is on my heart. This is my passion for where we're at. And this particular scripture has come out of Luke, the 16th chapter, and we'll read it on the screen up here. Just follow along. We'll read through the story, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about it. It says, Jesus told this story to his disciples. So he's talking to people like you and me, people who are followers of his, who need to understand how to live their life when they're out and about with Jesus. He says, there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs, and one day a report came that the manager was wasting the employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order, because you are going to be fired. That's an interesting way of saying that. In other words, he wanted the report yet to come. So the manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me, and I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how I will ensure that I have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. So he asked the first one, how much do you owe him? And the man replied, I owe him 100 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. How much do you owe your employer? He asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushel of wheat. Here, the manager says, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. It is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. So here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into your eternal home. So, this is what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying that our material possessions are simply temporary tools. Ever wondered why God gave you what he gave you? I mean, we are the most blessed nation on this earth. We have more things than we can shake a stick at. Why did God give you those things? Well, sometimes I believe that he has given them to us for our pleasure. In other words, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he said, you know, enjoy where you live. Take care of it. Supervise over it. Steward this place. And so I think there is a certain sense in which he has given them for our pleasure. But that is not the only reason he gave them. He gave them so that we can use them for eternal benefits. You see, our material possessions are just temporary tools that God has given to us. Notice what it says here in this particular passage. It says the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. So number one, understand this. Jesus is not, he's not condoning the dishonesty of this man. He's not saying this is the right way to do this. He's just saying the guy was greatly practical. Shrewdness, great practical intelligence. So he looked at his situation, he said, this is the only way that I can benefit out of this thing, and so he used what he had to benefit himself. So notice what he says here. Jesus here says, there is a difference between children of the world and children of light. And here he calls his disciples something that is not called anywhere else. He calls them children of light. The children of this world are good at taking their resources and using them on themselves. That's what our people, that's what our culture is all about. It's all about finding pleasure in whatever, but I am going to get the most out of my life by using what's around me for myself. They are shrewd at doing that. This man was shrewd. I mean, he basically made his rich man some money because the guy wasn't getting paid, okay? He made friends of the people who were the creditors because they didn't have to pay as much, and he kind of got himself a place afterwards when he got kicked out of the rich man's place to go and hole up with these creditors. They didn't realize that they were writing a check to him because that's where he was going to go after he was gone, but they're shrewd. And he says, we need to be just as shrewd as children of light. We are the ambassadors of the God of heaven. We are his beacons of light to the circles that we live in. how we act and how we respond, how we use our material possessions, are going to reflect what God is like. So he says, we are children of light. The next verse says, the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with it. We are children of light. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Use the things that you have been given to do that. That's how you take something that is temporal and make it eternal. You ever wondered how you can take something that is of this world and then make something that's going to benefit the life after this world, where we can't transfer it with us, but how do you make it work? How do you take what you've been given and pass it on? Well, this is how you do it. You use it by taking that which is temporal and passing it on. You know, you look around us and think about the number of tools we have in our possession, things we have. So I'm just going to use this to start with, cell phones. Cell phones are neither good nor bad. Now, some of you would disagree with me, but it's not the cell phone that's got the problem. Okay? The cell phone is an inanimate object, okay, that has no intrinsic good or bad value. Okay? It is just a tool. Okay? Think with me about a sewing machine. Does a sewing machine have any value, any eternal value? No. It's something to stick around here. Can you use it for good and can you use it for bad? Absolutely. Think about our homes. Are our homes, do they have any value? Well, yeah, they do, but does it have anything that goes on? No, only if you use it in a way that has value for what's going to come. Otherwise, it can be used for just your own personal pleasure. And if things are used for your own personal pleasure, then they are consumed in this life. They're consumed now. And if God gave them for to be passed on into the next life, okay, through the use of that, then you have consumed it for yourself. And what becomes temporal stays temporal. But when you use it to help someone else, to make friends, to benefit others, to make friends in this world, you pass it on for eternal use. You see, Jesus says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. Compassion, seeing a need, and meeting a need. So how do you meet a need that you see? Where does that come from? How do you meet that need? Well, it takes your own personal energy, okay? But normally, it requires your personal resources as well. Your personal resources are intended to be utilized to meet the need of the person that you're going to make a friend with. Our resources are intended for that purpose. That's why God gave them. Not just so you can consume them, so that, may I say this, let me say it different, not just you, that we can consume them, because it doesn't matter who you are, okay? We consume our own resources. God says, I want you to start using them for other people, and that way they become eternal in their nature. See, Jesus goes on, and he's going to talk about a couple other things in this particular passage. And here he says, our use of eternal resources has eternal results. Now, we've already kind of said that, but this one is a little bit different. Because to begin with, we said that our resources can become eternal, okay? Here he says that our resources result in eternal results for us. Notice what he says. If you are faithful in little things, please watch this phrase, little things, as we read this. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest in greater responsibilities. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? No one can serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be a slave to money. Let me back up a minute. Let's go back to this one here. If you are faithful in the little things, what are the little things? What's he talking about? Well, he just told a story about the material resources that this man had and how we're supposed to use our material resources for eternal good. So the little things he's talking about are the material resources. Now, in our culture, We think material resources are not little, that that's the big thing. That's the big kahuna. That's the thing we've been striving for our entire life, isn't it? When you're young, you got nothing. When you get old, you got everything. And he says that everything is really just a little thing. Material resources are just a little thing. And if you are faithful in using the little thing, then you'll be giving greater things. Greater things. Notice what it says. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? If you can't handle what's earthly, why is he going to give you any more in heaven? Evidently, there are some responsibilities that are going to come to us when we're in heaven. We are not going to just sit around on a cloud playing a harp, singing. Some of you are really thankful for that. We're not. You are going to give him responsibilities in heaven. There are things you're going to do to serve God, okay? And it's based upon what you have done with what you've been given on this earth. This is Jesus' statement, not mine. It's not just about being saved. It's about what you do with this life. He says, if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? How we use what God has given to us is important. And then he goes on and he says about these things. He says, no one can serve two masters. There are two masters in this world. You will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And all of us would say, well, I'm not enslaved to money. So let me ask you, here's the test of being enslaved to money. Okay? How do you hold your money? Like this or like this? Want to test your money skills, whether you're enslaved to it? When God asks you to give it away, what do? Do you argue with him? Do you say, no, I need that for my bills? Or I need that for what I've got to do? Or I'm not going to have enough money for the end of the month? Or do you say, no, okay, fine. It's yours anyway. It's God's money. God gave it to us. The question is, how will you serve God? Are you enslaved to the money? Who's your master, in other words? Who is your master? Is your master God? Or is your master money? Or possessions? How do you use them? So we go back to the story about the man. And it says that we can take our resources and make them eternal as we use them to meet the needs of people that are around us. So let me tell you a story. I'm going to move from here into application. Tell you a story about something that I found in California. So for the last probably 5 or 6 years, we've been going out to visit my brother in California. And every Saturday morning, it seems like, when I'm out there, he asks, do you want to go see the Cars and Coffee? Well, I love to go to Cars and Coffee, okay? Because this is what's at Cars and Coffee. Now, I love cars. I just love them. This is last year's Cars and Coffee in California, okay? Just a few, okay? This is a Walmart parking lot full of these kind of cars, okay? Now, what they do is they just drive them in for that morning. They're drivers. They drive them in, they pop their hoods, they show them off, they go get a cup of coffee, you can talk to the owners, you can talk to anybody, and about 2 hours later, it's all gone. It's only a drive-in. It's like starts at 8, it's done by 10, you're out of there, okay? But you get to see and talk to all these people. Now, the reason I say this to you is not to show you this, but to show you something that's in my head. And that is, how do you take what is temporal and make it eternal? How do you do that? What did we just say? You use it to meet the need of somebody else. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to build friends with people, make friends with people so we can have opportunities to share their story and our story and hopefully God's story in that process. So how can you take a car and make it eternal? Well, what about having a car show here? on Father's Day. You know, that's what I think we ought to do. In fact, that's what we're planning to do, by the way, okay? We're going to have a car show here. So service on the 17th of June starts at 9 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock we're going to be done. And from 10 to 12, there's going to be a car show along with donuts and coffee intended to kind of honor our fathers, because most dads like cars, okay? But the point of the car show is not for the car show. What's the point of the car show? To build friends with the people who come, or the people you invite to say. And they don't have to come to church, by the way, okay? And I know that really sounds strange, okay? But in our culture, it's not the invite to church, it's the invite to be a friend that's more important. So invite them to the car show so that you can come out of church and go out and greet them and have a conversation, go around and look at what's out there. Because I have no idea how many cars are going to show up, just like these guys don't. We're just opening it up. We're trying to get the word out to our community to say, if you got a car you'd like to show on that Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, have it out here. We'll have a spot parked off for you. And we go out there and have a conversation with these people about their cars. Build a friendship. Maybe there'll be a time for some of you who will, you'll have an opportunity to share your story or their story or maybe God's story. You know, I'm just trusting God that he can use something temporal and make it eternal. Just a good example. So what else can we do? Well, let me give you a couple of other ideas. Many of us are campers. We love to camp, whether it's in a tent or it's in a motorhome or it's in a cabin, whatever it is. May I suggest to you that as you go this summer doing the things that you're going to do, that you use whatever it is that you camp in as an opportunity to build and increase your circle so that you can build a friend with somebody so that you can influence them toward the kingdom. That means that the camper has eternal value. That means that the tent or the camping gear or whatever it is, maybe it's you're walking around the campground, and as you're walking around the campground, you're looking, you're saying to God, show us a need, Lord. Show us a need. And then don't be surprised when somebody comes up to you and they've got a need and you're saying, oh, that's not what we planned to do today. And God says, no, I just changed your plans. I just changed your plans because you're not a slave to money. You're a slave to me. I'm your master. Money is not your master. Use the things that you have to influence the people you know. Some of us like to play baseball, summer baseball time. This is the best time in the world because you're outside with people who have similar ideas and similar interests. If you like to watch baseball, go to baseball games and ask God to show you a need. They're all over the place. People with needs. And when he shows you the need, strike up a conversation about that person. Talk about their kids. Which kid is that on the field out there? Oh, I don't have a kid out there. I got a grandkid out there. How many grandkids? I got 5 grandkids in this team. Just start talking to them about the grandkids. They can talk the whole time about them. They may ask you about yours, possibly. Does it matter? No. The point is you have started a conversation with somebody that maybe you can continue at a later time. When you go to the ball game, look for the needs. When you are cooking out, what do we love to do in the summer but barbecue, okay? Don't barbecue alone. Invite somebody over. Have them be a part of your house, your family, wherever it is. And now what happens is this grill that you just bought, and by the way, this is not a statement to go out and buy something new so that you can show it off. That's not the point. Okay. Use what you have, the barbecue grill, and your culinary skills to touch the lives of people that are around you. That's what makes summer so interesting. You know, it's really not about the numbers of people that sit in this Sunday, in this pew on Sunday mornings. Now, I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm saying that that's really important, okay? But when you can't, because you have plans and things are going on, my statement to you is this. I bless you. If you're going out with the purpose to seek the lost, and you're going out with the purpose of trying to see the needs that are around you, to build a friendship with the people that are there, then we become sent ones, and our mission field is no longer beyond these borders of this state, but that it becomes this state, the people in this place. We become the missionaries to reach the people of our community. And what better place to do that is in the summertime when everybody's outside, everybody's having a good time. We're taking walks, we're meeting people, we're greeting people. And sometimes we just forget our purpose. And my statement to you is this: do not forget your purpose. You see, the people of light use the temporary resources of this world to have an eternal effect on the people that are around them. That makes summer a great opportunity. It makes all that we have valuable for the kingdom, and it gives us multiple opportunities to touch the lives of people. So I want to ask you this morning, will you join me in this task, this journey this summer? And at the end of the summer, I really want to have a time when we sit down together in one of these services and we say, so what stories do you have of God's work in your life, in the lives of other people, where you have met somebody, you've built a friendship with them, you have had conversations with them? I'm just looking forward to the stories of God's sent ones touching the lives of the people that are around them for the glory of God. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, you are so good. You have given us opportunity to be part of this with you. And Lord, I look forward. I am excited about what you are going to do as we go out and we share friendship with the people that are around us. Lord, I pray that as we do that, you would touch those people. You would give us influence in their lives, that their story and our story could mingle together, and that we could introduce them to your story in a way that they would receive it. Lord, we just need to know that you are with us in this venture. But I know you are, Lord, because this is what you came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. Help us to join you in that purpose this summer as we seek those among us who are lost and hurting, who have needs, and we can use our resources to meet their needs. In Jesus' name.